Welcome to everyone. Thank you for attending this temple in Manchester, branch of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Srila Prabhupada was very keen in the appearance of ISKCON temples in the UK, because of course you know the historical connection between England, between Britain and India. And so he saw it as somewhat, although Prabhupada was always above any type of national or bodily conception, but still it is somewhat revalidating India's equality with British culture, which really tried to make, and did make, a great impression on India while in those years up until 1948, until they were actually there as, should I say, occupiers. And well, unfortunately there were some very unfavorable influences that took place, and Manchester played a great role in that. As you know, cotton from India was shipped all the way over here to be milled, only to be sent back so that the Indian population could buy fine cotton milled in the United Kingdom, machine milled, because up until then all the work was done in cottage industry and it was a little coarser. So it was really great propaganda, just like, well, I don't know about, made in China is not so popular, but popular or not, that's what's happening nowadays. But at that time, made in England, if it was made in England, then everyone in India wanted to buy it. So Srila Prabhupada was very happy when he brought Krishna consciousness here. This was made in India. And all the people in England were buying it, and hopefully continue to also actually really see the great contribution that India has to offer to the world. At that time, Prabhupada used a proverb of the blind man and the lame man, which is there in different cultures, and that more or less the world is blind, really blind to what the science of the soul is all about. On the other hand, India was lame in the sense that it was poor, not really so poor, but since everyone in the world had been saying that India was impoverished for so many years, they also began to think that they were actually poor. Of course, that couldn't really be the case, because from Marco Polo's time, everyone was head over heels trying to get to India, and it wasn't because they were going over there to get poor things. They were going over there to get the wealth and opulence of India, starting with spices, but then it went up to, well, if you look at the crown jewels, the income, they weren't mined in London. They came from India. And so did many many other wonderful treasures, but the greatest treasure which India had to offer to the world was the transcendental knowledge that was there in the Vedas. And actually, in the beginning, Cunningham and other they were viceroys as well as local state governors of India. They were great fans of Vedas and Vedic literature. What to speak of the Germans? They were even more so. They were really in love with Vedic culture. But of course, that proved to be a problem if you're going to subjugate a nation whose population is many times that of the United Kingdom. Then you've got to convince them that they can't be the ones who really got the culture. And so Darwinian evolution was sort of wed with that, and this whole concept of mythology of the Vedas, the mythology of the Puranas and the mythology of Mahabharata, that this was not, all of a sudden it became relegated from actually historical epics to mythology. And because everything that was in England, made in England, was considered to be high quality, similarly this type of education and this type of ideology also became something that the Indian subcontinent bought into. Anyway, that was not to get into a Indian history lesson, but to actually come back to the Krishna consciousness movement and the role of this Manchester temple and this event that we're going to see here, which was really part of accepting Krishna consciousness. Now, in every religion, there is a certain time when a believer has to make a serious commitment. I was too young for a bar mitzvah, but I did have my confirmation. And after that, I had my initiations. So this initiation ceremony, which is, it's not really, we have, it's more like confirmation, since we're, it's a confirmation. We use the word initiation. The Sanskrit word is diksha. Devyan gyana yatodaryat kuryat tapasi samshayaha. That process by which, through both ritual, the chanting of mantra, and the acquisition of transcendental knowledge and acting on transcendental knowledge, by which one acts on these things, one becomes free from kurya papa samsaya, one becomes free from past sinful activities or past bad habits, and one actually makes a very strong commitment to the Lord, to actually the religious process itself, and a certain lifestyle. And then let me talk about that a little later, because this is getting to be a long introduction. What will happen is, of course, you see Arati here. And are you going to be sitting there also? Or you're just going to wait for the fire sacrifice?
Yeah.
Okay, so you see Arati is there. We will be doing first thing that we'll do is Achman, which is just a purificatory ceremony with water, chanting some mantras. And then Mitch, IT's good husband, is going to put on a new set of neck beads. I'll give a little explanation on what the meaning of this initiation ceremony is. At that time, then, there's the taking of vows. So we're going to try and get, right now, the temple room's pretty well. We've got lots of moving space, so I will be able to just offer her obeisances to Srila Prabhupada and to Panchatattva, and then she'll come here and make her vows. And then we'll sit down, and then there will be the fire ceremony, which sort of solemnizes the whole occasion. And that fire ceremony is really making an offering within the fire through the medium of grains. And then we'll get a little grains to throw into the fire. And we're just going to keep that to her, am I right? Not everyone, otherwise we'll get a little messy in here. And after the fire ceremony is over, then that's it. And then we'll complete every ceremony. All ceremonies have to end with honoring of prasadam. So that'll be lunch. So let's start. And let's start by, as you see in front of you, you have this Achmut cup, and I have this Achmut cup. And I'll just show how to do it first. You just take 3 drops, Om Keshavaya Namaha, and then you sip them. You sip them through sort of this little part of the palm over here. Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayanaya Namaha. No, just watch me. So then you'll know. And Om Madhavaya Namaha. And then one more to wash that, and then you drop to the side, and then we'll chant the mantra. And after every time we chant the mantra, then we'll repeat this process, so we'll do it 3 times. Okay? So let me start just with the mantra, so everyone, and we'll do it responsively, so everyone can chant after me, and then I'll explain a little. Om Pavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Utopiva Asmare Kundalikaksham Haya Abhyantara Suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. We may need a few more chairs for guests. They could fit over here. We brought them in. Anyway, I'll leave it to you to organize. Okay, now, 3 drops into the right palm. Om Keshavaya Namaha. Say the mantra.
Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Sit to the side. Next. 3 drops. Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Sip. And Om Madhavaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya Namaha.
And then one more drop to wash to the side. And now we'll repeat the mantra. Om Pavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Utopiva Asmarit Kundalikaksham Subhaya Abhyantara Suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. Okay, and then again, Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Om
Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya Namaha.
And wash. Om Pavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Utopiva Asmare Kundalikaksham Subhaya Abhyantara Suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. And one more time. Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Om
Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya Namaha.
And wash to the side. And we'll repeat the mantra for the last time. Om Pavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Utopiva Asmare Kundalikaksham Subhaya Abhyantara Suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Hare Krishna. Okay, now, dear Mitch, can you put the kantimala around Arati's neck 3 times, and then of course in the meantime the devotees will always chant a little Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada called this Kantimala, which is the same type of, made of sacred tulsi wood as what the beads that we chant are. He said, well, this is like a dog collar. He said, just like a master has a dog collar to walk the dogs. Especially nowadays, you can't let your dog running free. So similarly, it's the disciple accepts that as a dog collar, the spiritual master, which is obviously symbolic, but at the same time, the basis of the initiation is commitment, and vows are only vows when they're kept. So let me say a few things about this process, which has both its esoteric and exoteric aspects. Those things that one sees, those things that one doesn't necessarily see. Krishna says, Dikshikali Krishna Atma Samarpan, that ultimately we are all sons and daughters of the Supreme Lord. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says like that. He says, Aham Bija Prada Pita. I'm the seed-giving father. However, there is also a extended family, and there's also a very close family. Villages, generally speaking, were just a big family. The many brothers and the many sisters and their wives and husbands and their uncles and aunts, and sort of it spread. So it's a villages were sort of an extended family, but ultimately there was also the family who lives in the house. They weren't all living in the house. They also had their many houses. So similarly, the whole world, not only the whole world, but actually all of the creation, is the Vasudeva Kutumbakam. As it's stated in Hindi, is that we're all part of the family of the Supreme Lord. But then there's the very close family, and that close family, which is close due to commitment. Because although, for instance, a father may have many sons and daughters, but they may not all be doing what the parents want. In fact, it's quite rare that they do. Especially when they end up joining the Hare Krishna movement. It wasn't what my parents had in mind. So, but when the children are actually become very committed, and yes, that my life is dedicated to doing what my parents want, because ultimately, father knows best. Did they have that here in the UK, that television program? That was in Canada, America, was very popular. Father knows best. At least the title is good. Father knows best. But unfortunately, it takes children about 40 years to come to that realization. I remember once when I was actually driving. I was driving in my motorhome from Manchester back down to London. And I was writing a letter to my parents. And I was somewhere in my 40s. And I said, you know, I finally came to the realization you were right about a lot of things. Except for, don't join the Hare Krishna. So it takes a little while for us to realize that actually parents do know best, because they've gone through a lot of experience. And the ultimate parent, the ultimate father, really knows best. And when we decide that, yes, now I'm going to follow, I'm going to do, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjun tells Arjun, Sarvam evam ritam munye yaman bada shikeshava. Now whatever you tell me, I'm going to do. Harishe vachanam tava. So ultimately, then one becomes a very member of the close-knit family. Family that lives in the house, lives in the house of God, and whether that house of God is a synagogue, or it's a church, or it's a temple. But why? And that's what keeps the family member. That's really, really the substance of the initiation or the confirmation or the bar mitzvah, is that one is really obedient and one follows the process. The ritual itself, just like this fire sacrifice, of course you don't usually see fire sacrifices every day, and sometimes it has strange connotations of people being thrown into the fire and so on. It's not that type of fire sacrifice, but ultimately it's just a ritual. And God requires more than just a ritual. He doesn't want the ritual of grains in the fire or a lot of smoke, as you notice we've got the windows wide open. But actually what he wants is the offering of the heart.